Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church. Hey everybody, welcome to City Place Church this morning. We are excited to be able to spend time with you. We are at the man cave.
Yeah.
We are in the man cave. We've got an environment this morning that's going to be fun. But we want to welcome you to City Place Church Live. My name is Damon Moore. This is my wife, Taisha, and we are excited to spend time with you this morning.
Yes, we are. Well, you know, we can't meet together physically, but this morning we are in the process of all of our facilities being deep cleaned, but spiritually we're here together. And so just like if you were in service this morning, we want you to put comments in the comment bars, both on YouTube and Facebook, whichever one suits you. We want you to say amen. We want you to say preach it.
That's right.
We want you to do whatever you would normally do because we are gathering together in the spirit of community. And so, yeah, we're just putting that out there, like, no yes. Different. Same, same, okay?
Right.
Same, same.
That's right. So comment back, amen back. Welcome into the man cave. Welcome to our home. And we are excited to be in your home today. Give us shouts out throughout. Send us questions or comments. We'd love to be interactive this morning. But as you can tell, there's something going on in our nation, and we are fully aware of it. But how many of y'all would say that Jesus is still alive, and Jesus is still doing miracles, and Jesus is still on the throne, and he's fully able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, hope, think, or imagine?
Amen. That's all right. You know, in the midst of all kinds of craziness, it's important for us to remember who's at the center of it all, that he is, as you said, still on the throne, still fully in control. God has always been in control and always will be as we go through these very, you know, uncertain times.
That's right.
We don't know in our natural bodies what will happen, what's going to, you know, take place,
yeah.
What's going to, but, you know, God really calls us not to fear the moments that we're in, not to fear the times
right.
that we live in, but to have the hope of the world. And so this morning, you know, we're going to just be focusing on the things that we do know. What we don't
that's
know
right.
is what's going to happen because we are not future tellers. But what we do know is who our God is
yep.
and what kind of character and countenance he's had over history,
yeah.
over our present and over our future. And frankly, if God has been the God of history, he will continue to be the God of our future.
That's right.
And so what we do know is what the character of God is as we find it in his word. And
that's
those
right.
are the things that we cling to this morning.
That's right. So let's pray. We've got a challenge this morning, and we are going to spend time in prayer. We've got a challenge this morning in the word of God. And here's the thing, our president declared that today is a national day of prayer.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, he hears from heaven and he changes things.
Yeah.
And so we just believe that God could turn our lives around on a dime. And we want to jump into the word of God here in a second, but let's just pray. And we want to encourage you not to spectate. You know, if you're watching a movie, you can spectate. If you're watching a sporting event, you can spectate. But we're having a moment with God, and this is an intangible moment, an exchange. And so as we pray, we want to just encourage you to pray. Pray with us. Pray with expectation, because this is a national day of prayer in the United States. Our president has declared this as a national day of prayer. Let's take full advantage of coming together and seeing what God can do. Father, we welcome you this morning into our time together. We invite you into this place, into our personal homes, and we say that you're fully able to move like you want to move. God, we declare let everything that's designed in heaven for this day be accomplished. Let us not miss the miracles. Let us not miss the moments of worship. Let us not miss an opportunity to encounter you. God, change this moment, change our lives. God, what the enemy is trying to accomplish, God, we ask you to silence it. Move on our behalf, shake our nation. God, we're crying out to you this morning just so that we can have a tangible encounter, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors and for our friends and for our community. Do something tangible today in this moment. We don't have a moment later. We have this moment that is designed in heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray, let the word of God that comes out of Ty and I change our lives. Let us all sit on the edge of our seat as we engage together. Let your word be life to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was getting fired up.
Yeah, you were.
Ty and I just got back. Yesterday, we celebrated 17 years.
Come on, somebody.
How has it been being married?
This is not a talk show.
It's not, no, but mm-mm. How has it been being married to me?
It has been a wild ride. Let me just fix you here because
yes,
I don't
please.
Want everybody to hear muffled. They need to hear the truth and they need to hear it in clarity.
This is what 17 years of marriage would do.
Right. It'll be.
It's like any married folk out there or people who still have, like, you know, your parents still, like, treat you like they need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, they're still
it.
Rubbing stuff off of your. And no, no, no. It's
our
like,
kids. Nah. Our kids love that.
Yeah, our kids love it
our
when
kids
we give
love
them a
that.
Sit back.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's been a wild ride. It's been a really wonderful time to kind of have the institution of marriage for 17 years. And I don't mean that like, oh, like for real, because it's a work in progress, and it's something that God loves and that we love, and I love you.
Yeah.
But it's been work, and it's been yeah. hard, and it's one of those things you pour your life into, and yeah. it pours back into yeah. you in such
but
a
way. But has every moment
been glorious. Just no comment. You
That's
guys
encouraging.
Know your pastor. You know your
That's
pastor.
Encouraging. If
no.
this is your first time, we're Damon and Taisha. We pastor City Place Church in Orlando. We're called to be a life-giving church.
Guys, that was directed for me. He was trying to say I was not life. Being life-giving.
Life-giving.
No, come on. Church. Marriage is hard.
Marriage is
Has
hard.
Has every moment been glorious? No, because
no.
that's not the way that this works. And that's, God even tells us, like, when you're going through this world, there will be trouble.
Yeah.
And when I put something together, just because God, you may be married, you may be struggling in your marriage, you may be fighting for your marriage, you may be fighting for any relationship or anything that God has put together. Let me just say this, because we've talked about this with our team in so many respects. What God starts still requires our effort.
That's good.
Like it doesn't magically grow roses just yeah. because you're married. No, there's some days yeah. where I just, I'm like, ah, yeah. you know, I don't
so,
like you.
So not every moment in us walking together has been roses.
No.
Not every moment has been roses. But we're all in.
Absolutely.
We're all in. We're committed.
We're fully committed.
Like no matter what.
No matter what.
Listen, I was
Why are we clarifying?
Huh? It's like, hey, it's like 17 years, 18, you know, it's time to re-engage. But no, this morning we want to show you a moment in scripture that looked like it was contrary to how it should have been.
Yeah.
And our focus this morning is called I'm In. I'm In ... Maybe you can respond to us right now. Maybe you're in a financial situation, or maybe you're in a health crisis, or maybe you're in a tough marriage. I don't know what it is, but if you're comfortable with it, you can drop it there. Maybe you're in a process of pursuing a new job, or you're in the living your dream. I'm in XYZ. We would love to engage with you, because I wonder if right now, in the middle of everything that we're walking through nationally, internationally, I wonder if we're in a moment.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're in a moment where God says, if you will allow me access to this moment, you'll realize that you're in my moment.
Yeah.
And so if you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter 9. And hopefully there'll be some engage, which we're trying to post our scriptures and our points as we go this morning. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, there are two stories, and one we won't be able to spend time with, but there is one that we want to highlight. And it says this, it says, while Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. So Jesus arose, followed him, and so did Jesus' disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith in this moment has made you well. And the woman was made well that hour. Come on, somebody say, that hour.
That hour.
In that moment.
In that moment.
That hour, in that moment. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for this girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed Jesus. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. I wonder if we're in a moment.
Yeah.
A moment when God wants to show himself off. But here's the thing. We all need a moment.
Yeah, there's so many instances in this specific scripture, if we start to talk about and unpack the various opportunities where some moment was seized. Mm. And it begins early on when this particular man said, he first saw Jesus, and the first thing he does is he says, I need to worship you.
Ooh, that's good.
It's so crazy because it says, the very next thing that he says is, my daughter has died. So he knew that his daughter had died. He was in a complete moment of devastation. So picture the emotion pouring out from a daddy that has just lost his daughter. And he doesn't come through as was normal customary practice of the day to be wailing and to show the devastation through his voice. And, it was very common. And I don't mean to demean it in any way. It is still very common, especially in Middle Eastern cultures, to show exuberance as the form of love. But that's not what this dad does. He recognizes something different. Mm. And he takes his focus off of his own emptiness. I can't even imagine the sense of devastation and just disappointment that he felt as he watched his girl die. She was already gone. Mm. But he sees Jesus and he decides to seize a moment.
That's good.
He decides that instead of displaying his wail, instead of looking like everything was out of control, he says, I've got to worship you.
That's so good.
And there is something to be said that when we feel that all hell is breaking loose, that the bottom has fallen out, that everything is not working, that the first thing we need to do is worship God.
Ooh.
Let me just tell you that the enemy wants us to do nothing more than to keep us from worshiping God.
That's good.
And we don't worship God when we're disappointed. A lot of times we don't worship God when we're sad. No. We want to play the slow music that makes us cry, but we don't necessarily want to worship.
That's good.
This man seizes a moment. He says, this is a moment where I can take my eyes off of everything that's happening here and place it on the God. This is the thing that I don't know is why my baby girl passed away. But what I do know is that Jesus is in front of my face and I don't want to miss the moment.
Wow. How many of us reach for worship as the first response? I think we've all been in that position where we've reacted to the situation versus worshiped. Like, I was thinking about this thought. What if worship was an invitation to the moment? Can you write that down? What if my worship is an invitation to that moment with God? What if in the middle of uncertainty, worship became my invitation? Because like Ty said, he worshiped first and then he said, hey, listen, my daughter's dead. Will you come to my house? You know what? I was thinking about this. I wrote this question down. What if my first response to seeing Jesus was humility and worship over request? Mm. What if my first response was, there is nobody like you. You are amazing. You saved my life. If this is your first time hopping online, maybe you're like, I don't even know what I'm watching. Listen, you don't have to be where we are to give Jesus praise. You can worship. The Bible doesn't say that this man was a believer. It didn't say that he was a Christ follower. It said that he was a ruler and he needed God to do something, but he recognized that Jesus was there and he needed a moment with Jesus. No matter where you are right now, you have access to Jesus. You don't have to be a Christian. Let me tell you, if you begin to worship, Jesus begins to come to you and you can meet Jesus right where you are. He is coming after the lost person. He's coming after the broken person. And through your brokenness, through that moment, he changes your life and he comes and lives inside of you. So even if you're watching right now, Facebook Live, YouTube, and you're like, but I'm not even a churchgoer. I don't even know if this applies to me. Let me tell you what, you are alive, you are well, and you can say, God, in this moment, I may not know you like others know you, but I need a moment with you right now.
Yeah.
What if our worship was an invitation?
I think it's so good because, you know, even breaking down what the ask was of this man, Jesus was busy, okay? Like, he was busy. He had limited time on the earth, but he was physically busy that day. Like, he was doing something else. We talked about it, and he was right in the middle, sandwiched in the middle of this story. He is handling something else. But this was the invitation, and it says so interesting. It says, so Jesus arose then and followed him, and so did his disciples.
That's good.
So did the people that were going to carry out the work of Jesus. And Jesus didn't have to get up. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever just needed God to show up? Let me tell you, something that moves the heart of God is speaking his language, and his language is worship. And so, you know, if you need Jesus to move, he's not a genie. We don't do these things manipulating him. But this is one of the things that moves the heart of God. This is a one more thing that I thought was so interesting before we move on, and that was this: the ask of this man was so bold, and it was incredibly uncertain times, just That's like good. We're in today, but it was so bold, let me tell you, because he had a prescribed end that he was asking for, and he was bold enough to
That's
ask
good.
It.
That's good.
And so he says, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Do you know why this
That's
is so
good.
Cool? Do you know why this is so cool, you guys? Because resurrections had never happened before. Jesus had not resurrected from the dead. You know, we know that later Abraham had the faith that his son, when it says, okay, I'm going to take my boy up to the mountain, I'm going to sacrifice him. We know that later in Hebrews it says, oh, Abraham believed that God would raise his son back, and that's why he said that. But it had never happened before. Jesus had done a couple of miracles where he was bringing people back to life, but this kind of thing was not normal. Okay, so this kind of prayer. Now, Lazarus was Jesus's bestie. Jesus had not been raised from the dead. There is a story where Jesus goes and touches the coffin of a wailing mama, and that boy comes back to life. And it just had me wonder, like, where did he get this specific faith from? Had
That's
he
good.
Heard the stories of the
Old
rumbling?
Testament.
Had he heard the stories
Elijah.
Of the Old Testament? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it that had him say, no, you can come. My daughter has just died, but if you come lay your hands on her, she will live again. This was some bold living because this was not common practice. And I just love that he was bold enough to say, I worship you. I worship you. This is what I know you'll do.
That's
and
good.
He declared in faith who God was and what he wanted to see done.
That's
and
good.
I just think through these times, as we're living through crazy uncertainty times, we say, Jesus, this is, we worship you without strings attached, but this is what we know that you will do. This
That's
is
good.
What we know you will bring us from. This is, we know that the blood
That's
of
good.
Jesus covers us, period,
That's
full
good.
Stop.
So here's my thought. I wonder if right now on Facebook Live, and on YouTube, if we can't create a moment. I'm stealing this from Pastor Jensen Franklin. Let's give Jesus a worship moment right now. Come on, right where you are. Come on, come on, right where you are. Jesus, you're invited into this place. Jesus, right now. Yeah. I don't have the moment tomorrow. I have the moment right now. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. God, thank
so
you
good.
That I have health in my body. Thank you that my kids are alive. Thank you that there's food on our table. Thank you that we have provision in our home. Thank you that we have a place to live. Come on, make some noise right where you are. You have this moment. What if this moment of worship shifted everything? What if God did something for you that you haven't seen before? What have you needed God to do? What do you need Jesus to do in your house? What if we worshiped first and invited him in? Let's worship first and invited him in. Worship is our invitation. Come are right where you are. Thank you, God, that you're shifting our atmosphere. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm healthy. Thank you for my family. You can go down the list. Thank you that there's strength in my body. I may not have what I want, but thank you that I have what I have. That gives me promise. That gives me purpose. That gives me expectation that my tomorrow is in front of me, and God, you're still working for me.
Yes.
Come on, y'all. What if worship was our invitation?
Come on.
What I love the fact that you were saying that this man is asking for something that he'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
There was like I love the fact that from this is like getting like, you know, deep in theology, but from the end of Malachi all the way through Matthew, there was nothing. When you study it out, there was like there was silence. The word of the Lord wasn't going loud. And I wonder if he was pulling from the stories of the past, and the silent rumbles of this Jesus who was starting to do those miracles that no one had seen. I love that. I'm sorry. So here, What if we invite Jesus in? What if we say, Jesus, you're welcome? So the story says that the man began to worship Jesus, and he says, Jesus, come to my house. And Jesus says, I'm going. And as he's going, the Bible says that there's a woman that's been dealing with an issue for 12 long years. And we can't even really spend time with that.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that we don't read about the man getting frustrated with the woman distracting Jesus.
You like, trying to put something in there?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just saying. Like, it's not, it would be the equivalent of like, it would be the equivalent of like me watching the game. And you're like, hey.
Careful now.
I didn't respond. I'm always like, it's fine. The game can wait.
You better DVR that thing.
The game can wait. No, but listen. It's so bad. We're confessing. No, but I love the fact that this guy realizes that he has a moment with Jesus and that someone else can have the same moment.
Yeah, it definitely displayed a heart of generosity. And it's one thing, you know, I just want to touch on this really quickly because it's exactly what you're talking about. And that is when I'm pouring my heart out to God and God seems to be answering everyone but me, what do I do? There are times when we're fervently praying, we have worshiped, we have laid the groundwork. Christ is the center of our life, but it feels as though he is meeting the needs of everyone around us. And for some reason, we are left just with our own stuff. God, why have you forgotten me? What are you doing? Why am I waiting? And I think it's always important for us to understand that in God's time, everything is a setup. See, Jesus had never forgotten.
Okay, pause. In God's time, everything is a setup. Y'all should tweet that hashtag City Place Church. Go ahead.
Jesus had not forgotten this man. He was in no rush and he was in no delay. Why? Because he knew what the outcome was going to be with this girl. So whether she slept for 10 seconds or 10 minutes or 10 days, it didn't matter because the truth is that she was going to be resurrected. He was going to touch her. He understood what the end would be. And so his sense of urgency and the dad's sense of urgency were two very different things because Jesus was approaching this from a spiritual aspect. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to bless her anyways. I know the end result. And I think about this a lot of times in the spiritual sense when there are things that I'm praying for and I say, God, I need you to do it. And I need you to do it in this way, in this time. And he goes, I own the time and I own the outcome. And the outcome is not going to change and it will be resurrected one way or the other. And so please put your trust in me. And this is how God talks to me. It's a little bit more like, but you know, like chill out, basically chill out. But this man demonstrates this amazing sense of patience, an amazing sense of calm, and the amazing sense of generosity. Which if I could just go one
That's
step
good
further,
right there.
Yeah, if I could just go one step further, we are called as Christians to demonstrate this the love and generosity of Jesus. And I want to be careful of what I say here, but one of the most selfish things we can do is be like, me and me only, and me right now, when God is attending to someone else.
I love the fact that you tied him stepping aside to being generous. That is so good. Did y'all see that? Him stepping aside and saying, girl, you go ahead and have your moment with God because you're desperate just as I am.
And I have faith
enough. And I have faith enough.
It
doesn't change my outcome. That is so good. So even y'all right now, while we're worshiping God for what he's going to do in our lives, what if we even praise God for what he's going to do for the other person? That's believing God too. And the Bible doesn't say that they knew each other. That's good. That is so good. So they're going. So we're picking back up in the story. This woman has an encounter with God. Jesus looks at her and says, wow, your faith is unbelievable. This moment is your moment because it's my moment with you. And it goes on and says that Jesus goes to the man's house and says when he gets there that there are people playing a flute and there is a loud noise and they're wailing. There's a loud noise and they're wailing. Jesus walks into a uncertain place. He walks into something that looks like it's not going to be changed. And when Jesus gets there, I love the fact, this is what Jesus says. He says, you know what? We need to set these people out. We need to set these people out. But I was thinking about this, Ty. I was wondering, because it said that there was a loud noise and there was a crowd. I wonder if Jesus started off by like leaning over to the man going, we need to get these people out. And it was kind of a quiet sort of response. We need to get these people out. But then I wonder if because of the loud noise, Jesus goes, hey!
Out! That sounds like how you talk to the kids.
Well, no, stop that! Because the Bible says that there was a loud noise, but then this voice said, hey, we need to make room. We need to, this needs to stop because life has just walked in. Here's what I was realizing, that Jesus speaks loud in the moment.
Yeah.
So we need to listen. The Bible says that he walks into this house. There is people crying. They're playing a flute and there's a crowd with a loud noise. And Jesus goes, hey, make room. I wonder if in the middle of the uncertainty and the noise, if we're tuning in enough to be able to hear him say, hey, make room. It's time for a moment.
Well, I actually don't want to just go past that too lightly because those two words are powerful words. Make room. Mm. Make room. Make room. Have you ever gone internationally or maybe even to a big city if you live in a smaller town or whatever? We were just on vacation and we were in Australia, and you know, there were some times where I felt like people were a little too close to my personal space. Amen. And maybe you've been in this situation, but in the Middle East, again, very common for people to be real, real close to each other. Why do I bring that up? Because that means that there was a lot of people showing, paying their respects. They were showing their appreciation. They were showing, they were honoring the life of this young girl. And Jesus says those two critical words, make room, make space, part away. Give me some space to work and to make room. Mm. Make room, which just means you step aside, speaking to the people and to the noise, you step aside so that what needs to get through can get through. It's kind of like when an ambulance comes or a fire engine comes, it's like, make room, park the way. I don't care that you're in the middle of an intersection. I don't care what's happening. But he says those two important words, make room, make room. And I think about how busy of lives we lead. Just like the people that were playing flutes and noise and wailing and this and that. Now let's think about it with spiritual eyes. How much are our lives noisy? How much are our lives filled with craziness? How much are our lives filled with sirens and people and sounds and this and that and opinions and social media and everything under the sun fighting for our attention? And Jesus says, make room so that I can come in. You want me to come in, then give me some space to do what I need to do. And by the way, I'm not going to compete with the noise.
That's good.
So get it out of the room. And there are some times where Jesus is just so bold to tell us what we need. But I wonder sometimes how difficult it is for us to do that. Now, ideally, it seems like, no kidding, make room for Jesus, right? But what happens when it's our life and when it's our noise? No, that's my hobby, God. That's the thing I like to do. And he's saying, but no, make room for me. It has taken space that I want to occupy. If you really want the healing in your life, then put some of those things out so that I can come in.
That's good.
So he says those two words, which are so critical for us today. Make room.
That's good.
Make room.
So if you're jotting these down, Jesus speaks loud in the moment. So you got to listen. You got to listen. In the middle of uncertainty, in the middle of pursuing your dream, in the middle of praying that prayer, make room, because he's speaking louder. But then he's also saying, make room because I want to step in. How do you, or even I'm asking you this as well, how do you respond in those moments when you're crying out to God and he's literally coming to your house, but the noise seems loud? I wonder if sometimes, Ty, even you and I, we were joking earlier about 17 years, but I wonder about those moments where Jesus has gotten to the house and then we get distracted by what we asked him to come and deal with. I wonder how many times we've jumped back in and tried to navigate what we asked Jesus to handle. And Jesus is like, you've worshiped me. I've told you, let's clear this place out, make some room. But you put your hand back in and you want to take control again.
Yeah, or sometimes we feel like the ways that God is speaking to us and prompting us and frankly convicting us of things to put in and put out of our lives, they may seem very small. And so we respond, no, that's kind of off limits. I remember speaking back to the marriage thing in 17 years, there were times where we would have discussions and we would say, date night has to be a priority. It is not. It is not. And we would look at each other like, yeah, okay. Yeah, but we have small kids. Yeah, but you know, life is just crazy. Yeah, and it's these small things that we have to place the emphasis on where God is saying, no, I'm sorry. I did not confuse my words when I said make room. I meant let me solve your issues before the dead girl is on the bed. Let me speak life into you. Let me make room into places before it is a desperate situation. See, the girl, we see her in the most desperate state. But the truth is that God speaks to us and gives us the ability to have tactics all throughout.
That's good.
And he's asking us, listen, because we're talking about moments. We're talking about moments. He's saying, I don't want a moment that is just miracle reliant.
That's good.
I want moments with you all the time. I want moments with you day by day.
That's good.
Yes, I'm here to resurrect your baby girl. I'm here to meet you in your most desperate situation. This is the God we serve.
That's good.
But God deeply desires for us to make room all the time.
That's good.
Give him space all the time, to make a moment all the time before our babies are dead and dying, before the situation is desperate.
That's good. So we're gonna seize these moments, y'all. We're gonna seize these moments where we've communicated with God. He's coming to our house. He's at the door. He's speaking loud. We have to listen and we have to make room. One of the things that we were flying back and we were getting set for weekend service, preparing, and just felt like the Lord was just dropping some knowledge to us in regards to some of you who are watching right now on YouTube and Facebook Live. And if this is you, just you can give us a thumbs up. But just felt like the Lord just said that he wanted to give you some moments where he calmed your storm, where he broke fear in your life, where he healed your sickness. For some of you, God wanted to give you a moment where he shifted the direction you were going. I felt like the Lord was just dropping in me that some of you have had opportunities year after year to come into a relationship with him, but you've been avoiding it out of fear, concern, and also out of religion, because you've seen some Christians say that they're Christians, but they respond contrary. And you've been saying to yourself, if that is the God that they serve, I want nothing to do with him. And so I felt like the Lord was just saying to me that for you, that God wanted to give you a real experience that's not dependent on any person, but it's your experience. It's the moment where God says, I'm proving to you that I am who I said I am. I love this quote. It says, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of the person with an opinion. God has for you a moment. This moment is today. We don't have tomorrow. We have today. I felt like the Lord was saying, some of you are dealing with suicidal thoughts that you're wanting to throw in the towel. You've been contemplating it. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you today, those of you who are watching, and even if you're watching this later, that God is going to give you a moment today, that suicidal thoughts and spirit that's been hovering over your life, hovering over your family, God's going to break it. And we're just going to declare over you that you have the mind of Christ. We can have a moment here today.
Yeah. It's so lovely for us to have this opportunity together. I just want to kind of bring us to some conclusions in this. And so Jesus says, make room, for the girl is not dead. She's just sleeping. And people ridiculed him, but when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And you just talked about some of the things, the things that need to be broken. And can you just see, Can you just see yourself just like Jesus walking into that room? Can you see Jesus walking into your space right now? Saying, listen, this is the thing that's been sleeping. You thought that it was dead, but it was sleeping. And when I step in the room, I am here to grab you by the hand and pull you up and rise back up to where you are supposed to be. You know, the things in scripture are supposed to be applications to our life. They are supposed to be directly applicable to us today. So, I would ask you not to read this as words on a page in a book about a girl. It is about you and it is about me. And so when Jesus steps in, we have created space where we have said, God, I need a moment with you. I'm here to worship you. And then I declare in faith what you will do.
That's good.
And I've made room for you. Then why would we stop short of the miracle expecting that God is going to come in into the places that I thought were dead and to reach out his hand and to pull me up where I am supposed to be in him? So today I would just ask you to see the miracle, listen to me, all the way through.
That's good.
Not just from your situation that seems like it's devastating or frankly, as we're all facing uncertain times, God, we're just worshiping and praying. No, see the miracle all the way through. See Jesus stepping in beyond this season that we're living in, saying, now it's time.
That's good.
It's time. It's time. You've been running from me long enough, or you've had in your head that I am God, or on these pages that I am God, and it's time for you to have in your heart that I am your God.
That's good.
And that I am here to raise you up. So I'm just asking you this morning, what are the things that have been dead? What are the things that have, looked dead? What are the things that appear dead in your life? And it's time for us to throw them at the feet of Jesus, who is fully able to grab them by the hand and to resurrect them.
That's good. So early on, we challenge you to finish this thought. I'm in ... I'm in a financial situation. I'm in a whatever. What if we change it now and we declare this? I'm in a moment where God can change my life. I'm in a moment where God can change my life. That moment is right now, right here. God can show up right where you are. You've given some time today to spend with us in your home. You could have been doing something else. But I just believe, along with Taisha, that God can give you this moment right now. For some of you, this is going to be your first time accepting Jesus. Remember, I told you earlier that you've been running, and God's like, nah, today's the day. And even as I'm speaking, you're going, yeah, today is my day, because I cannot believe that they just said that not knowing me. And today is your day. And let me tell you, I wish I could tell you that every day would be like a smooth ride. That wouldn't be true. But what I can tell you is that there is a sureness that comes in your relationship with Jesus, knowing that you have someone that has the power to do the impossible and is always for you and can always do miracles. And here's the thing. It's God's heart for lost people to be found, people who don't have a relationship with him, to come into a relationship with him. And then once you come into a relationship with him, he says, now let me free you from the thing that's been holding you down. Let me free you from the thing that's been causing you to feel like you can't be all that you've been called to be. And so we're going to spend some moments in prayer. You know, we said earlier that our president has declared today a national day of prayer. And we're just going to take advantage of us being able to pray boldly. We're going to pray for some of the things that we outlined where God dropped the burden. We've gotten so many responses from you. We've got people watching from Trinidad today, people watching from all parts of the country. Thank you for hanging out with us. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes and just pray. And maybe you say, Damon, I need God to calm my storm. I need fear to be broken, whether it's anxiety and worry or fear of the virus that is going on right now, or healing of sickness, something in your body. God, you want God to shift the direction of your life you've been going, but even the one that's been running away. And so right now, would you just join us? We're just going to spend just a couple of minutes. We're going to start by praying for our nation. Right now, we're dealing with a pandemic. We just believe that Jesus is big enough to bring it to silence and to heal bodies.
And one of the things that we can do now is if you have a prayer request, please drop it in the comments. Our team is monitoring that, and we will continue to pray for you throughout the week. But it'll be good as a community of believers for us to pray for one another. So if you see a comment popping up or prayer request popping up and it stirs in your heart, then you just go to task right now as we're praying corporately. We believe that God answers our prayers. Like, these are not things that we just waste our time doing in vain. And so go ahead. If you have a prayer request now, if you have something you say, God, this is, I'm putting it out there. I'm going to put it out there in bravery. This is what's dead. This is what I'm worried about. This is what I'm anxious about. This is what I believe is broken. Stick it in there so we can pray together as a community. Can we pray?
Amen.
Let's pray now. So God, thank you so much for being the God of this moment, for being the God of this day. You are the God of history. You are the God of our present. And you certainly are the God of the future. And so we know that we don't come and gather in vain. We know that this too will pass. The moments that we are in, God, are not etched in our history forever. You will take us through just as the God who has always seen us from history until now, until forevermore. So God, we just put you at the center of our lives. And the center of this nation, the center of this world, as we are dealing with a global issue now, God. We thank you that you are still on the throne, that you are good at being God, and you do not need assistance. But this morning, Lord, we cry out to you. We cry out to you according to your word that says, if your people will come and humble ourselves and pray. So this morning, we come to you as humbly as we know how. With spirits that are broken and seeking you, Lord. We know that you are the answer, God, to this crisis. There is no crisis with you in the center of it. So we come before you humbly and we ask for the blood of Jesus to cover us during this season. The blood of Jesus to cover our minds. We thank you, Lord, that we are clinging to faith and not fear. We thank you, Lord, that we will go through this season and be the light of Christ that will show us steadiness, that we will have care and compassion for those around us in every way, in every season. God, open our eyes of how to be a blessing to others during this time, that we would not hoard do things in fear that would try to give in the natural the sense of protection. But God, our whole protection, our whole hope would be in you alone. Amen. As a nation, we humble ourselves. We turn from our wicked ways. We come back to you. And we ask you to heal our land.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Well, hey, we also want to pray for those of you who are accepting Jesus for the first time. It's really easy. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he comes and lives on the inside of you. And that's where he begins to do the work. You don't have to do anything. He finds you. We respond. And then he says, let me free you. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I want you to pray it after me. And if you respond and you say, I've accepted Jesus for the very first time, you can send us a message. Just let us know I accepted Jesus. And we'd love to send you a next step. And if you're local here in the city, we'd love to see you a part of City Place Church that we can celebrate this journey with you. But in this moment, if you're saying, Damon, I'm going to meet Jesus for the very, very first time, just pray this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today acknowledging that you died for me, but you also rose again. And today, with full faith, in this moment, my moment with you, I accept you freely as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's that simple. Today, for the very first time, or maybe you were away, you've come back to Jesus. And the Bible says this, heaven is throwing a party when one person accepts Jesus. And so welcome into the family of God. You are a son or daughter of Jesus, of God himself. And so we welcome you into the family of God. Hey, thank you for spending this time with us. One of the things that we do, we worship God not only with our hands lifted and songs of worship, but we also worship God through our giving. And so right now is an opportunity for us to be able to give.
Yes, and to be generous, just like the man that we, that yes. we heard about and read about today.
Yes.
I love this part of our service. I say this locally to our City Place family all the time, and I'll share it with you as well. This is one of my favorite parts because I feel like this is where God has stretched me even from my youth until now, and it really reflects the heart of generosity. Now, at City Place, we're a generous church. We always will be a generous church. We believe that God will use us as a funnel to literally yeah. touch the nations, and he has already started doing that as we have utilized the giving that has come in week after week to be a blessing to all, like so many nations of the world. I almost said all the nations. Well, amen. Pretty soon we will be. To so yes. many nations of the world. And we love it. We love to be generous. Just this week, we got word that some of our students here locally who will be out of school a little longer than they expected and probably quite excited about that, we are going to be supporting them with some lunches this week because, you know, some of our most vulnerable populations depend on things like schools for meals and things like that. So this is how City Place is being a generous funnel, and we invite you now to be a part of what That's right. God is doing through giving. Sure. You can go to cityplacechurch.com/give.
That's right.
And that's how we do our giving here at church. It's online. It's pretty simple. You can also get the directions there about how to do that via text if you're feeling savvy, tech savvy. But we just pray that God would use you to be a blessing.
That's right.
And we love it. Our family loves doing it, and we hope that you do too. It's good seed in the
that's
ground.
Right.
It's good
that's
seed.
That's right. Now listen, some people turn off when they hear opportunities to give. But listen, our responsibility as pastors is to give everyone an opportunity to worship the Lord with their giving. That's it. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. We just present the opportunity. And so we are excited to be able to represent Jesus well. Like Taisha said, there's some kids that through the generosity that you're giving today, but also just through the tithe and the offering from City Place Church, that are going to be able to enjoy a meal that they would have lost from school, not yeah. being in. And so, hey, thank you for spending this time with us today. We have enjoyed it. We hope that you have. We see people on YouTube. We see people on Facebook Live. And hey, maybe we should continue to do this.
Let's do it.
I mean, not instead of just gathering together, but what if we had a both and?
Both and. I love it. I think it's fantastic. We always love meeting together with you. Again, if you're local to the Orlando community, come visit us at City Place Church. You can find all the information on cityplacechurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. For those of you that call City Place home, please make sure that you're staying connected to all of the social media channels so that you can find out where and when we'll be meeting again. Our small groups will still be in effect. Our meetings, again, in effect. The community of believers will
That's right.
still need each other during this time. So we look forward to seeing That's right. you again soon. Have a great Sunday. We love you so much.
Have a great Sunday.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. We're turning off now. We can't wait to see you real soon.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.